Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
It's been a while.
It has. I'm guessing.
Not for you guys,
because we pre-recorded last week's.
Yes.
But for us, we haven't talked about wrestling in a podcast form together in 2 weeks.
Since the night after WrestleMania.
Yes. Before, there's a bunch of stuff that we're going to cover.
Yes.
But before we do that, I just have one curious question. Now that it's been 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and we don't have to think about what happened the night after or whatever, but just as a show, has your opinion on WrestleMania 32 as just the standalone thing changed since then?
Not really. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was quite as big on the show as you or Blair were on the podcast.
Yeah.
Initially.
And even then, like, we weren't that big on it.
No, yeah. I feel like, you know, talking to you off mic,
right.
And, you know, talking to Blair.
IRL.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like you've more come down to my level.
Yeah.
So, like, some of the disappointment has set in, some of the, like, wait a minute, I was drawn in by pageantry.
Sure. And that's kind of the element that, if WrestleMania 32 embodied anything, it's the idea of they're just selling the show at this point.
Yeah.
You know, sure, they put a lot of emphasis on the card, especially their main events and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, they plan them out months ahead of time and whatnot. But the major selling point is the show, is fan access, is
right.
all this, the Hall of Fame, all this other stuff going on to make it a whole spectacle.
Which I'm fine with.
Sure.
But that kills your rewatch value. As we've seen, like, rewatching the WrestleManias.
Right.
Like, there were a lot of, like, that was a great thing. And then I watched it, I was like, what do I like about this? Where was the good part?
I will say this. It's the longest WrestleMania they've ever put on.
Yeah. Pre-show included?
Pre-show included, everything.
I think it's seven hours.
Yeah, the show itself was about 5 hours.
Right.
Rewatching it is a chore.
Yes.
Because you know me, I'm a rewatch junkie when it comes to these things, especially WrestleManias.
Right.
Usually the week after, I'll rewatch it at least once, and then maybe go back and rewatch some of my favorite moments.
Mm-hmm.
I've yet to rewatch WrestleMania 32 all the way through.
Yeah.
Because again, who has the time?
I barely had the time to watch it once.
Sure. Yeah. We put aside an entire Sunday.
There's a reason we have to schedule out a weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, of course, we've expressed our discontent with some of the booking, especially with the continuity going into the next day after the Shane situation.
The Shane situation is the big thing.
It's the big thing. You know, scratching our heads with New Day losing, the main event just feeling so overly drawn out in a
yeah.
show that was drawn out on its own.
Right.
The nonsense of The Rock
yeah.
coming out and, you know, putting all this emphasis on, you know, this new women's division, this rebranding, they're superstars just like the men. They have a new championship and everything. It's like, oh, but here's the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. You know, that kind of,
right.
you know.
I'm assuming... I'm going to, like, do some retreading of what we said in the, you know, omnibus episode.
Right.
But, like, it was, you know, after 4 straight days of wrestling and
yeah.
3 hours of talking, and I was running on some pretty serious fumes.
Yeah.
Just, like, trying to make it to that finish line.
Plus, you were, like, getting sick during that podcast.
Yes, I was.
Like, Joel is, like, 75% more sick at the end of that podcast than he was at the beginning of that podcast.
And you can tell that I'm compensating by being louder
yes.
as that podcast goes on.
Yes. Thankfully, we had Blair that we could lean on.
Yes.
And now, you know, bringing in everything that's happened since, I can tell you now, we've had a couple of good Raws. The Monday after Raw, I think we put...
The Monday after WrestleMania?
Sorry, yeah, the Monday after WrestleMania. We put so much emphasis behind in the past that this one kind of felt like a dud.
Well...
But in all actuality,
honestly,
it was really just a regular episode of Raw.
All the ones that we've been excited about have mm-hmm. felt like duds. Like, the first, you know, big deal Raw after Mania was after 29.
Right. And that one felt like...
And that one kind of came out of nowhere. That was with the Fandango. And there was a lot of weird stuff. Like, the crowd took over for the first time with, like, we'll just with chant. That
kind of enthusiasm.
The announcers.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of really good wrestlers playing into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of really good, oh, I guess I'm the heel for this match.
Yeah.
A lot of callbacks, like... Wade Barrett dropped an elbow at one point in there and then did bang bang.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like, that's a little tiny thing, but that's the crowd to do it for, because that crowd popped like crazy for that.
Absolutely.
And so just because that Raw was so ludicrously fun,
yeah,
I feel like, and we could point to, oh, it's because of that's the same WrestleMania crowd watching an episode of Raw. This is better.
Yeah.
And so...
But then when you
that has put unfair hype on every Raw after WrestleMania set.
But the problem with that is when you have a crowd that feels kind of slighted / disappointed with the show that happened the day before, odds are they're not going to feel much better about the next night.
No.
Now, WrestleMania 30, it was just a love fest. You know, because
the
it was
pageantry.
Well, it was, you know, we still call it probably the greatest WrestleMania they've ever put on.
Yeah.
So everyone was still riding that high. 31 was okay, you know, the crowd afterwards. This year, it just felt like a lot of people were kind of felt like we did, honestly.
Well, I think there was an attitude of, okay, you went through with it, and now you have to deal with the consequences.
Right.
And we, the WWE Universe, will bring the consequences.
You're right. And really, those consequences, well, them telling, or us telling WWE, you have to deal with those consequences. And WWE's like, no, we don't. Shane's running the show now. You know, or, no, we don't. We'll just take the Intercontinental Championship off Zack Ryder for no real reason.
Yeah.
Just to you know, not really repackage Miz, but, you know, bring his wife back to WWE and have that be a thing.
But the thing is...
Well, they could have easily put the belt on Miz the night before.
We had this show,
mm-hmm.
but the Raw after that was really solid. And I think it had some of that, like, I didn't expect it to be good.
Sure.
Paired in there. And this week was the European tour.
Right.
So it had that, you know, that little touch of we can't do anything too exciting because the internet.
Right.
But at the same time,
they
solid show.
Solid show. The opening segment felt a little cringy.
Yeah.
And not to
I was fine with it.
Not to Dean Ambrose's fault. He did fine. He was entertaining. Everyone else. In that situation, just, I don't know, something felt off to me. And that could have just been me. Of course, you know, Carl Anderson and Gallows coming out to attack Roman was a nice little wrench. And, you know, that's something that we were going to talk about that they debuted 2 weeks ago. And from what I understand, they're actually going to have a match on Raw this Monday.
Well, I mean, it looks like NWO Bullet Club Edition.
Oh, sure.
Or yeah. I guess the Outsiders. They were the Outsiders first.
Sure, and then their third guy is clearly going to be Finn. And I'm assuming this is going to lead to a Finn versus AJ thing. The way I see it happening is they're more or less going to cause...
First of all, how do you dream book this?
Well, first of all...
Trying to stick with a little bit of the you know, the Outsiders NWO angle.
Sure.
Do you bring Finn in?
I don't know if you do it at Payback or the night after or soon thereafter or whatever. But yeah, I feel like, you know, those three guys are, you know, have the Baylor Club and everything. That's kind of a ready-made situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, who wouldn't like to see Finn Balor versus AJ Styles, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm saying, is
AJ Styles your best... Your most preferred starter feud for Finn Balor's.
Well, you would want a pretty good convincing over face. I probably, if you think about it, he's probably the most over face they've got right now, and especially will be.
AJ?
AJ, yes.
I'm gonna give it to Dean.
Dean took a hit. Not a big hit, but some.
Dean,
a little bit of water got on those flames after WrestleMania.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And not again, not to his fault.
If we were right after WrestleMania, I would agree with you.
Sure.
But I just watched 2 weeks of Dean getting a potted plant over.
True.
So.
But like, that's to his own credit, not necessarily how WWE's using it.
But I'm saying, like, despite WWE's best interest, I'm still going to put Dean as the most over face in the company.
But.
Okay. The one that New Day.
Oh, sure.
Then, because they did the same thing, but with a trombone.
But as far as like guys that they're willing to put emphasis behind in the main event scene.
Oh yeah, maybe AJ.
Yeah. So you have that. The problem therein lies is how do they keep Finn as a heel in that situation? You know, I don't think he can do the demon gimmick if he's going to be a heel.
No.
They have to play the Bullet Club thing. He has to basically do his rock and roll gimmick when he was in Japan.
Well, yeah, if he's a face, the demon gimmick is cool. If he's a heel, the demon gimmick is a sad, why are you still trying to do Papa Shango, Undertaker, mysterious stuff?
Sure.
That doesn't work anymore.
But being the cocky club.
Yeah.
What he was doing in Japan. And again, he was doing the face paint stuff in Japan and being a heel. I don't know how much of a heel he actually was doing that, but as a heel, it would be much harder to be convincing.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because eventually that will lead to the fantastic day that when Finn turns face and he comes out in the demon makeup once again, like a couple years maybe down the road.
I'm assuming in this scenario, AJ is not winning the title at Payback.
I'm thinking that Gallows and Anderson cost him the championship, which will put heat on them.
Okay.
Because right now, those guys are over his faces anyway, because they just came out to attack Roman Reigns.
Yes.
Who is... WWE wants us to believe he's a tweener, just like they wanted us to believe he was a face leading up to WrestleMania. It's...
No, it feels like WWE's, like, feeble attempt at, like, compromise?
Right, he's...
And like, no.
Not a good guy, not a bad guy, he's the guy, which I can't stand. That... Again, give that line to anybody else, it probably works, but for some reason, Roman, it's nails on a chalkboard for me.
Here's what really bothers me about it. The line...
Mm-hmm.
What he says is, I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, I'm the guy. What he should say is, I'm not a bad guy, I'm not a good guy, I'm the guy. Putting the bad guy first,
yeah.
Letting the booze start out right there,
yeah.
Having that, oh, come on, shucks, y'all. Starting with that, then going into, I'm not a good guy, I'm the guy. Putting the good guy and the guy, it flows so much better.
Yeah,
and I don't know, like...
That plus... He needs to change his inflection on it, to be honest with you. He needs to say it with authority, you know? Instead of, he's like, hey, guys. The way he's saying it now is like, hey, guys, I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. Having that inflection
of,
like,
come on,
guys.
What I'm saying is, and he should have that for the bad guy line,
yes.
But not for the good guy line.
Yes.
Which is why the bad guy line should come before the good guy line.
Yeah.
And the best talkers in history have basically all said they more or less just let it flow.
Yeah.
Talk off the cuff, say what comes to their mind in the moment. They have a general idea,
mm-hmm.
but what they're saying comes pretty naturally.
Right.
With Punk and with Piper and with Jericho and all these guys, their best stuff, they've pretty much said they just talked it.
Yeah.
And they've all pretty much, you know, complained about or lambasted the idea of stronger scripts for promos.
Sure.
Some guys need stronger scripts for promos.
Yes.
They do, and Roman Reigns is a guy like that. I'm not going to, you know, say point blank across the board, everybody should talk off the cuff. Because Roman Reigns needs a script.
Right.
But...
The script they're handing him is...
There's a thing. It's like, I don't know if they're handing him that, if they're handing him the order the word should be in, mm-hmm. and he says it the wrong way, and then everybody's like, yeah, close enough. It's the same words, just different.
And again, it could be a decent script, but being, like, overly managed.
Right, but... No, I see, if you're going to do it, if you're going to go to this point, Roman Reigns needs that management. Roman Reigns does not have the ability to talk off the cuff. He needs to be overly managed. He needs to Because that's the only way he's going to work at all. The other option, the better option, silent, scary killer guy. Right. Comes out, destroys Lee's. He should be Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
That you can have on every week.
How they haven't given him a manager yet, knowing how, watching him struggle on the mic for a while now, how they haven't, seeing as how they want to put so much emphasis behind him, how they haven't come up with the idea of putting him with a manager, face or heel, I don't care, but a manager nonetheless, is beyond me.
No, I agree with you. But if they're going to continue to let him be on the mic, he is a exception where he needs to be managed. You say this word with this inflection. You count to three silently in your head, then you say this line.
Right.
But that's not happening because this line that he said 3 weeks now, he does it wrong.
Yes.
It's not a good line. He does it wrong and it makes it worse.
And it's not even his line.
Cole said it. Well, okay. Cole said it initially. Cole said it about Roman, but the internet has dug up just like an interview with Kevin Owens from his NXT stuff.
Right.
Where he said basically the same thing.
Something along the same lines, yeah.
He said, I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, I'm just a guy. Which was basically saying how he played a heel that was a family man.
Sure.
And how he was making that work.
Sure.
Which he wasn't saying it promo style.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with somebody being like, that's a great promo.
Sure.
That was not a great promo.
Yeah.
But somebody saying like, that's a great, you know, line, we need to put that somewhere, and not immediately giving it to Kevin Owens. If it's somebody else's current story better, give it to them, that's fine. But they're clearly still intent on Roman being the guy that's on the lunchbox and on the sleeping bag.
Right.
I don't think AJ's going to be taking that title at Payback.
No. But at the same time, I feel like WWE's finally acknowledging, Payback is going to be in Chicago. There's no way in the world we'll even have a prayer of having Roman over as a face.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see some heel tendencies. Now, if that goes out the window after Payback, then that'll be a whole other story. But at least now they're kind of recognizing it.
That's a generous way to put it.
But they're very, like, you know, one foot in, one foot out kind of situation.
Yes.
You know? They're fooling themselves even trying to make him a tweener.
Yes. Also, on the past couple of weeks of Raw that we haven't talked about, so Shane is in charge now. On a week-by-week basis. Yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if we're supposed to be, like, biting our nails of, like, oh, I gotta make sure to follow WWE on Twitter to see if Shane gets another week.
Yeah.
But he's not really in a story at all.
No.
And
here's something, and somebody, I forgot exactly who, but somebody pointed this out. And I thought it was a really interesting point, going back to the WrestleMania match. Why wasn't Vince at ringside at any point during that? Seeing as how he was so invested in this. You know what I mean?
This is the most bizarre storyline.
Right.
Just and a lot, way I look at it.
And clearly, like, this was a storyline that they had to reach for because of the injuries.
Yes.
You know, and it's a very taped together situation. But at the same time, if you're going to have Vince be so so involved in the making of this match, and clearly he had a vested interest in it, why wasn't he ringside or somewhere or had cameras on him backstage or something?
So, breaking this down, we have Shane coming back. In the storyline, Shane comes back.
Sure.
The storyline is, Raw is bad. I'm going to make it better.
Right.
Oh, but he lost. Yay, Raw gets to stay bad?
Right.
Like, so that on top of his whole, like, you know, the thing where he's like, if I win, I get Raw. Not WWE, but Raw, which is a weird, like, specification where, like, you do know when, you know, you said Raw, but that's basically the WWE as a whole thing, which kind of feels like he said the wrong thing.
Yeah.
On the show, and so Vince had to, like, jump in there and be like, okay, you get Raw, but that basically means WWE. So we get that. We get The Undertaker being not okay with being a puppet,
but only in words,
because...
Yeah, but still willing to go through with it.
Yeah, all his actions are okay with being a puppet.
Yeah.
And then the match is clearly just so that Shane can jump off.
Sure, that one
Hell
spot.
In a Cell. That's fine.
Right.
You know what?
Yeah, it's a little, you know, the match kind
it
of
takes a while,
went
like,
on.
Who was looking forward to that match beyond, I wonder if Shane will jump off? Like, it's a will he won't
sure.
me thing.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's done it since.
Because the moment they announced the match, it's the first thing we went to.
Yeah. And so that's just the whole thing. It's like waiting for will he or won't he jump. But then after that, oh, I'm sorry I lost. Nah, you get Raw anyway.
Right.
On a week-by-week basis.
Yeah.
And it's
a thing where it's like, I don't think anyone's clamoring that much for Shane to run it. Mainly because, especially that first week, we didn't know there was an option. And the second week, they didn't even say, like, you know, oh, if you get some social media buzz about
it. Yeah, there's
then,
not like a...
But they just announced, like, hey, due to social media buzz, Shane's going to be hosting again, you know?
I feel like they could get it. Like, if they were just like, if, you know, Shane O'Mac is trending worldwide by, you know, 8 o'clock on Monday, he gets another week. Because it would.
Sure, yeah.
Or if it doesn't, they just say it does.
And then I think after the second week, they put out a poll on, you know, if you thought Raw was better because of Shane, and, you know, I forget the exact numbers, but it was, you know, overwhelmingly yes.
But it's not being made clear what is due to Shane's decisions.
Right.
Like,
we don't know if he was involved in Anderson and
exactly.
Gallows coming in. That's kind of...
Which, like, I'm assuming kayfabe he wasn't.
Sure.
There's stuff like, you know, Apollo Crews debuted the night after WrestleMania. What was he backstage and
yeah.
not debuting until Shane was put in charge?
Sure, yeah.
Don't know. Like, there wasn't a thing where, like, Shane comes in and is like, I've been watching you. It's time for a chance.
Yeah, them, Vaudevillains.
Vaudevillains, same thing.
And Joe Big Cass on Raw after Mania. Like, were they just there?
Yeah. So it's like, was that a Shane call, or was that going to happen anyway?
I mean, if Shane,
I get obviously in KFAB.
But. Oh, sure, like, in KFAB, like, he should have shot for the moon and just brought in Nakamura.
So,
but,
that's just...
Yeah.
It's really weird. And he's like, he's not doing anything crazy outside the box, because of course he's not going to. But there's no storyline of, like, maybe once they get back from Europe, you know,
right?
There's no, like, the Authority is angry
but at
and
that point,
plotting their revenge.
One show.
It might be a post payback.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like, there's time to do it still. The Authority is angry is the obvious storyline to do that.
I feel like this is eventually leading to a Shane and Triple H match.
But does that mean the lockbox thing is never to be heard from again?
Yeah, like, that was a really, really badly played MacGuffin. Like, if anything, it probably would have involved Hornswoggle.
Yeah, it's a Hornswoggle.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I forgot. Hornswoggle is the MacGuffin term for WWE. My bad. Sorry. Inside baseball. Sorry. Now, I did want to bring up this point.
Okay.
Watching the pre-show, live, WrestleMania.
Right.
The unveiling of the Women's Championship. Felt like it was a big turning point, right? And even later on, the championship match felt like a big turning point.
Yes.
Does it feel like they're putting any more emphasis on it, or does it feel more like ho-hum Divas Revolution since then? Because personally... We're back to one Diva segment on Raw.
Yeah.
And that one segment was a multi-Diva tag team match. Again.
Yeah. There is a little column A, a little column B in there. Because, the title's a big deal. Because
we've said time and time again, the true measure of success of revolutionizing the women's division is multiple storylines going on at the same time.
Yes.
And we're not getting that.
We're
at
not
all.
Getting that yet. So I feel like the title, the name of the title changing and the actual title itself changing, mm-hmm. was the biggest stumbling block.
At that
because
point, yeah.
as you know, great as the Divas Revolution was at its best, as exciting as it was for
the onset, yeah.
I mean, you can go to anybody. As exciting as it was for Charlotte to get the title, for Paige to get the title before that, for AJ to get the title before that, like, mm-hmm. you go to, like, oh, one I'm excited about gets the title. I can even go back to, like, stuff where, like, I really thought Caitlyn was underutilized, and she got the title at one point.
Right.
And there was a good back and forth between her and AJ, and I was like, this is better, and comparing it to what was right before that, this is, you know, the best Divas stuff at all, and it pales in comparison to what we have now.
Sure.
But there are all these memories of getting better since I've started watching again,
okay, yeah.
in 2010, and all these, finally, you know, the best person so far has gotten the title, like, and
sure.
that has happened a lot, because when I started watching, Helena
yeah.
had the title.
Yeah.
But all of those great moments, they're all holding up the butterfly. And it's this, like,
right.
can't get past it. Mm. And
yeah.
so because of that change...
It's still a big hurdle.
Yeah, because of that change, it still feels like this little, like, reminder that, oh, we're supposed to be taken... Like, maybe just for WWE, oh, we're supposed to be taking this seriously.
Yeah.
We have... The title looks like the other title.
Right.
Yeah, there's one match. I'm okay with it being what it was this time... Because that way we can put the sharpshooter on Charlotte, make Charlotte tap out without
sure, yeah.
without the title changing hands.
Mm-hmm.
There's this. It's a little weird because when they made Charlotte like have a this is for all the women of the locker room speech
right.
mixed with the I'm still the best.
Yeah.
So like half face, half heel, not in a tweener way, but in like a. When you try, you put two things of Play-Doh together and then try and
it's like,
take them apart.
It's like the Raw after TLC. When New Day won that TLC ladder match for the tag team championships, they come out, they give a very genuine, heartfelt, you know, promo about how they feel like, you know, something was really accomplished in this match. It was a great match and everyone should be proud of themselves. And then went full heel with it.
Yeah.
It's like, granted, you know, New Day as a whole is a juggernaut as far as promo work.
Right.
So it's probably not even a fair comparison. But Charlotte just couldn't quite pull that off.
No, and it's the kind of thing where like, and it's a little baffling why Becky Lynch or Sasha Banks didn't win that.
Sure.
But at the same time, this is WWE
mm-hmm.
and like, it wouldn't be WWE if there wasn't a little bit of a baffling.
Sure.
Why'd they do it that
sure.
way?
Sure. And because
so in that case, the women's storyline. You're right. They still have one storyline, and they should have more.
And the challenger kind of feels like just a rotation of like, okay, well, technically we probably should follow up with Sasha Banks because it feels like she is just the natural person in line for this. But, you know, Natalya hasn't been doing anything. Not to speak negative on Natalya because she's a great talent. But at the same time, it's like, okay, what has she done to have momentum for the spot?
Well, it's the thing where you're watching it and you want Natalya to be there because she's talented.
Sure.
You want her to be there because somebody saw something in here. And you know in the back of your head, it's probably... We can get Bret Hart and Ric Flair to be mad at each other.
Sure. And the added like, fact that this will be the first time Bret is going to be on WWE television after his cancer.
Yeah. So you're trying to, like, squash that thought. And you're like, nope, it's not because of then.
But it absolutely is.
But it totally is.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing where, like, they're going to put on a really good match. They have had...
Yes. They've done it in the past.
They've done it in the past. And they've had, I mean, Charlotte's best matches... I think are with Natalya. Natalya's best matches are definitely with Charlotte.
Right, because those are the only matches that she's been in where they've been allowed to have.
Where she's had, yeah,
time.
She's
yeah.
had the time.
I'm sure she can have those that level of match with probably just about anybody.
Yeah,
but those are the only matches that she's been.
But those two can clearly work together and put on a good
sure.
match. There are
multiple examples of the past, two specific highlights, mm-hmm. the NXT match and the Roadblock match.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay, that's definitely possible. Hopefully we will have a good match come out of crappy reasons for this match existing.
Sure. Honestly, I'm hoping for a summer program between Charlotte and Sasha Banks after Payback.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's what I'm hoping for.
I mean, I would
like to see an extended feud that has actual thought put into it.
I will
not
say,
necessarily like divas. Or sorry, women having matches, championship matches against each other for four straight months. Yeah. Not really for any reason, but just because they need to fill that card.
I will say that if you watch SmackDown, which I know you don't do.
Nope.
But if you watch SmackDown, there is some women's feuding that's not about the title.
Okay.
That's not about Charlotte or Natalya.
That's, okay. All right.
Which, I mean, again, it is baby steps, but is baby steps in the right direction. So. Sure.
Yeah. And again, yeah, like I don't mean to diminish anything that's happened within the last couple of years or anything. Like, I'm not saying like this is a major step back or it completely diminishes this new mindset, this new championship or anything. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I was expecting after all of that. I don't know if like this whole pendulum swift would have just been, oh yeah, everything solved. You know, the women on the roster are going to get multiple feuds at the same time and all these other, you know, things that we could check off.
Yeah. Is there anything else over the past 2 weeks that we need to touch on? Raw specific?
I'm digging the tag team tournament.
I like the tag team tournament. I like the... Oh, yeah. So the finals for the tournament are going to be on Payback?
Yeah. So I'm guessing that...
Is also the title match going to be on Payback?
I don't think so.
But they do have a Raw left before...
Yes.
That's weird, right?
It is. But I'm assuming they're probably wanting to give, you know, a full... Well, I was going to say a month, but I think it's only like 3 weeks between Payback and Extreme Rules. So,
yeah, okay.
They're probably going to, you know, let them have a full 3 week feud with New Day leading into Extreme Rules. I don't know. I don't know. Either way, yes, it is. Like, I agree with you.
It honestly, it feels like they made the title card wrong, and so like now it's being reported wrong on the internet.
Sure, yeah.
It's weird. I want to mention something else that happened right after WrestleMania.
Okay.
It was right after we recorded, so we didn't mention it, and it was a few weeks ago, but it's still been bothering me that long, so I have to bring it up. Shawn Michaels gave an interview.
Okay.
I don't remember who with, but it was an interview basically about coming back, doing WrestleMania.
Sure.
The little bit that he did. And just, you know, how'd you like it? It was fun. Do you miss wrestling? Yeah, parts of it. Yeah, parts of it. No. And then one of the questions was, you know, would you come back? Mm-hmm. Which... He's been asked a lot of times before.
Right.
And has always given an answer along the lines of, I respect The Undertaker.
Yeah.
But his response was, no, because it isn't the same product now as when I left. It's a different thing.
Sure.
And it's... I don't remember if he specifically said it's a worse thing, but it was clear that he was implying like, it's a worse thing. It's not as good of a product as when
right.
I left, and specifically citing, like, and the fans are going to, they don't have to do any better, because this group is going to watch it no matter how bad it gets. And as somebody who is a part of that group,
right,
that really bothers me that that's how you feel.
Okay.
On one hand, that's very true.
Sure.
I am probably going to, at the very least, follow the product, no matter how bad it gets.
Right.
you know, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch the pay-per-views at the very least. But I'm probably going to keep watching Raw, you know, and coming on and complaining, even without the podcast as the little poke-poke reminder that you have to.
Sure, yeah.
I'm still going to, like, it's a part of my life. It's a part of my Mondays. Some of it is just force of habit. Mm-hmm. Some of it is like a, maybe this week we'll be better, that eternal, you know. Sure. Or maybe this week something surprising and unexpected will happen. And so, yes, in a cynical view of that, you don't have to try, because I'll watch it.
Right.
But the thing is, I don't just watch it, because this group that you're talking about that's going to watch it no matter what are also your biggest advocates for other people should watch wrestling. They are, you as a, you know, wrestling has, the Attitude Era was great,
mm-hmm.
but is now this giant weight
mm-hmm.
on wrestling.
Yeah.
Because, oh, it's that terrible, nasty, crude thing. And you have to, no, that was then, this is now, differences, and et cetera, et cetera. And so this group that you're talking about, that are the ones that are going to watch no matter what, are going to be the same ones who, when their friend says, should I watch it? They go, not right now.
Right.
Because it sucks.
Yeah.
And that needs to be addressed. That right. needs to be that, like, yes, you if you only need to hit, you know, this on the ratings, you'll get that forever.
Sure.
You just will. You know, I'm going to grow old watching this. I'm going to, you know, have a kid who probably watches wrestling. And even, like, when it sucks, it'll still be that, like, nostalgia of, remember, you know, when such and such happens, and he won't know that that sucked because, you know, nostalgia goggles. Mm. But I talk to people who don't watch wrestling.
Sure.
We have friends who came to watch WrestleMania.
And that's the only wrestling that they're going to ingest all year.
And we have friends who, like, WrestleMania hit 11 o'clock. Seemed to keep going.
Yeah.
So there were friends that leaned over and was like, do I really need to stay for this?
We're like...
And me, the person who watches your product no matter what...
Yeah.
...is the one that can get this person to, like, maybe be a fan who will watch more than once a year. And I'm going to say, no, you know, that's Roman Reigns and Triple H. It's going
to
be terrible.
Like,
don't watch
it. You know
it.
The
Go
main event, and you know that they have a... They have an actual adult job to be at in the morning, so it's just like...
No, go away. This is not worth it. What they're showing you, I'm going to sit and watch, and it's not worth it. Go away.
Right, yeah.
And that... I feel like they don't get that.
Yeah.
I'm just... They... It's this weird relationship that those wrestling... how they view the fans.
Right.
Because of what specifically WWE has done to the product,
mm-hmm.
which has made it crass and crude and lowbrow, and it wasn't exactly like high culture before the Attitude
Era. But it seems like they're not trying as hard anymore to actually grab the audience.
Exactly.
And hold their attention.
Yeah.
Like, they've pretty much been... It's like, oh, the crowd, they're just going crazy, they're going to chant where they want. Not because they're bored, they're just having a good time.
Well, and... I get that, you know, on some level, you're not playing to me, you're playing mm-hmm. to the guy who may or may not watch.
Sure.
And so...
Hence why we got that erroneous, you know, commentator opening of the Raw after WrestleMania.
Right. And that's why The Rock has to show up.
Sure.
And I don't need Flamethrower Man in my wrestling show, but people are excited, and that's fine.
It's going to attract that lowest common denominator, you know, fan.
Yeah, and I get that, and I've made peace with that,
mm-hmm.
but then the person who comes, you know... Hey, should I come on Monday next week? well, The Rock's not going to be there, and there's literally nothing else worth it. I'll watch it. Go away.
Right, yeah.
Save yourself.
Yeah.
And I think back to, like, and honestly, I think back to Punk and the Pipe Bomb and the Summer of Punk. And, you know, that was one of the few times where he's like, hey, you want to come out Monday? No, I'm watching wrestling.
Right, yeah.
I am proud of it. And there were, you know, this, that's when I'm like, no, this is what's happening right sure. now. Let me come show you and watch what's going on.
Well, as a contrast to that, just, you know, as we think ahead of time for next year, we're absolutely putting more emphasis on the NXT show of WrestleMania.
Oh, absolutely,
weekend.
Yeah.
I got our casual friends that are in the area and may or may not have something to do on that Friday night. Like, no, you need to come for this NXT show.
Yeah.
Because they'll, you know, and even though, like, the NXT show won't have the pomp, the extravaganza appeal, you know, that big spectacle that WrestleMania will have, it will have wrestling.
Exactly.
But good and intriguing and exciting wrestling.
I want to be excited about wrestling. Mm-hmm. I love the art and the sport of the thing.
Right.
And I want to share that with people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do something that I'm embarrassed about,
yeah,
then I don't share it with people.
There you go. Yeah.
Whereas,
for me, I haven't, because usually as far as like my Facebook or, you know, anything, well, specifically my Facebook, I don't really do a whole lot of wrestling stuff on there, just because, you know, I've got friends, you know, who a very small percentage of are into wrestling. A lot of them would probably just give me the old, you know, it's fake right thing, and I don't even want to deal with it.
Yeah.
So typically, I'm not going to be like, hey guys, look at this match, or look at this, or whatever. But I will, if it's something that, like, I have in the past with exciting things that CM Punk did. Like, I was really jazzed about his WrestleMania 29 entrance. I put that up on Facebook immediately.
Yeah.
I did the same thing with Nakamura for NXT Dallas. Like, at first, I put up his entrance. That got taken down because, you know, somebody put it on YouTube. They probably shouldn't have. And then on a few days later, someone put up the entire match. And I'm like, guys, I normally don't do this, but I'm going to post this. You guys watch it.
Yeah.
You know, like, that kind of, like, that thing's like, this is why I enjoy this.
Exactly.
You know? I know there's a whole lot of other stuff that I'm not proud of or whatever, or I don't really care about. Forget about that. This is why.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I guess in conclusion, yeah, I am going to watch forever.
Yeah.
But all that, like, share, subscribe that you ram down my throat.
Sure.
No.
Yeah.
Give me something to like, share, or subscribe to.
Sure.
Like, that's not a... That's not how I'm going to be a fan. I'm going to be an embarrassed fan until you give me something that I'm not embarrassed about.
Right. We will gladly, like, you know, again, we will gladly profess our fandom of NXT.
Yeah.
Especially now.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of, way to transition, the Thursday after WrestleMania, NXT had their first live event in the Carolinas.
Yes.
And it happened to be in Concord, which is about hour and a half away from us. So we went, and holy crap, it was amazing. It was fun.
Yeah, it was.
And it was also Nakamura's first live event in WWE.
Yes.
I lost my brain when he came out. Because, again, like, they didn't really announce the card ahead of time. So we went, I mean, basically because it was NXT. And then we get there, like, oh, Finn Balor's going to be there. Awesome. Oh, Nakamura's going to be there. My brain is leaking out of my ears.
Yeah. A couple of thoughts.
Okay.
On the show. So there's some guys that haven't debuted yet.
Yes. And I wanted to bring that up.
Specifically.
No Way Jose.
No Way Jose,
who's actually debuting on NXT this week. So by the time this comes out, you'll have seen his debut. I know from the sound of the music and the kind of promo video for NXT, it sounds like he's going to be an Hispanic Fandango, and in a sense, he kind of is. But man, this guy has a lot more charisma.
There's very solid potential there.
Yeah.
He fits the character a lot better than Johnny Curtis ever did.
He does. And
and
this is a guy that, He actually is from our area. We actually saw him at a local show about a year and a half ago. And from what it sounds like it's a very similar character that he's always played. So he's already at home there. And watching him live, because he opened the show for NXT, and again, other than the handful of people that are from like local wrestling promotions that would know him, aside from that, the entire place was lit up by a guy who they didn't really know much about.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a great great indicator on the, you know, because Full Sail is going to
absolutely love. That's the other thing is like, Fandango would have gotten over a lot better if he'd had a long Full NXT. Sail.
And I draw this comparison because I think it was either the next match or a couple matches afterwards, they had another local guy come out, big initial pop, but then it kind of died down after that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember the guy's name, but a lot of people were talking about Noé José.
Yeah, of the undebuted guys that we got to see, Noé José and...
La Sombra.
Who fought Austin Aries.
He did. Interesting thing, though, since we've watched him... they've changed up his gimmick.
Yeah.
He's wearing sparkly pants, suspenders, and a fedora now.
Oh, I did not know that.
I don't know exactly what they're trying to say his character is, but he... I don't know.
What's his full name?
Manny on...
Manny, that's
Manny
it.
Andrade. That's how he came out. Mm-hmm. That was the name that they had on the Tron. He didn't even have a Tron video. They just put up his name with his music.
This guy's got it.
Oh yeah.
Flat out, 100%, no question.
And that's
if they don't butcher it, this guy will be a WWE champion. Barring injury, barring WWE butchering it, this guy will be WWE
champion. He's the reason why I was jealous of South Carolina, because the very next night, one on one, him versus Nakamura.
Yeah.
Like
I'm sure incredible.
Nakamura needed a couple staples in the back of his head, but that's who cares?
So that's like, it's the first time I've been to a couple shows.
Sure.
We've seen a couple of undebuted guys.
Mm-hmm.
Even so far as, you know, watching NXT guys before NXT existed.
Sure.
So like, this guy's like the first time I feel comfortable being like, that guy's got it.
Yeah.
That guy has the talent in the ring. He should be a main event guy.
Yeah.
Flat out. Couple other things. Nakamura is amazing.
Sure.
Obviously.
Absolutely.
But beyond the of course Nakamura was amazing. He knew how to play to the full crowd.
Sure.
He also knew how to interact with his opponent. He was facing Ty Dillinger.
Yeah.
And he interacted. He played off of Ty Dillinger's gimmick. He did not just like have his standard cut and dry stuff, which was one of my worries was they weren't going to be like, you're not super comfortable with the language or the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You do what you're good at, you know, just
stay within your comfort zone,
do the funny things that you do and it'll work out fine.
Right.
So the fact that he is already trying to interact, trying to work and doing it so well and pulling it off so quickly, because of course he was going to, is really exciting. Baron Corbin won me over this show.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin, he has clicked finally for me. Like
And
that's the thing
I'm willing to say that he has improved a lot since I was very much on the bandwagon against him.
It's really, because it wasn't like a, I hate him, flip, I love him. Like, it's been this very slow thing. He's better than last time.
And a lot of that probably has to do with, you know, his rivalry that he had with Samoa Joe.
Oh, yeah. This guy is the absolute poster child for what NXT can do. Watching, like, his early stuff to right now. This take off your shirt chant started.
Yeah.
And he did a little pay me more money.
Sure.
Kind of thing. Apparently later, he did, like, a crowd...
It was the next night at South Carolina.
They did a take off your shirt?
They were doing the same chant, and he did the same money thing. And then I don't remember what led to it, but he was like, eventually he was like, fine. Took off his shirt to reveal another, like the exact same shirt on underneath.
This guy's figuring it out. Like he's,
sure. Now if they can find a way to showcase that personality on Raw, that's another thing. And that's something I want to touch on. Finn Balor has a ton of personality that just doesn't get shown on NXT.
Yeah.
You know, on NXT, he's just the... the, you know, I'm going to give it everything I got guy, you know, and even with the demon, I'm going to give it everything I got. And sure, that, that the personality comes out, when he, especially when he has the paint and everything, but he was funny. He was fun. Yes. He was interesting. I mean, he's always interesting, but it was another level.
There's something in wrestling, and I'm not saying they're wrong about this, but there's something in wrestling where just intrinsically they feel like every show, every, you know, everything, every show, every territory, every whatever, needs that I'm going to give it all I got guy. It's been John Cena for 10 years on the main stuff, but, like, it was Sami Zayn, and when Sami Zayn left, Finn Balor had to fill in that I'm going to give it all I got.
Sure.
TNA had AJ Styles in that I'm going to give it all I got thing.
Yeah.
That's a character that they need, and so, and that's not going away anytime soon, which is why that's Finn Balor. Which isn't necessarily wrong, but you're right that there's a lot more that he can do that we don't get to see.
I mean, he was still your squeaky clean face that, you know, had a very nice message to the crowd at the beginning of the show, but he was still, like, really, like, he was funny. Like, he played up the fact that they were in Flair country.
Yeah, there was a lot of Flair doing.
Yeah, that was a lot. There was a lot of chops.
There were a lot of chops. There was a flop.
And again, this was NXT's first, you know, the first show in the Carolinas.
Yeah.
I will say this, after watching him live, I am ready for Ty Dillinger to get some heat behind him and have him, like, on the main event stage. Not necessarily going for the NXT Championship or anything, but I'm ready for them to put some momentum behind him and not just have him in a squash.
Yeah.
Like, granted, he was in the main event. Like, he was in a tag team with Baron Corbin against Finn Balor and Nakamura, so obviously Finn Balor and Nakamura was going to win. But I'm just ready for him to kind of take that next step.
Yeah.
The guy's got a ton of personality.
Yeah.
I really love the Perfect 10 gimmick.
They also did an interesting thing with Asuka came out.
Yes.
Asuka had a and Asuka was getting ready for her match when Eva Marie came out with the women's championship and said, "You can get it back from me if you face me
tomorrow in South Carolina."
In South Carolina. Which is interesting that they did that, like,
yeah,
a little bit. And it's geographically, there's probably some people who went to both shows. Like, it's very possible.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And there's probably some people who, you know, are right in the middle between the two cities and might have been like, "We're going to one. Oh, right. That's happening. We got to go to the other one."
Sure.
But
it's interesting they're using Eva Marie for that.
Well, it's interesting that they are doing...
She's a big-time heat magnet.
Yeah.
Even if it's for, like, the reasons that we don't want to... Well, like, give her credit for.
First of all, it's interesting that they had Eva Marie come out before the match. So yeah. The story goes that she's getting ready to fight, and then Asuka has to fight this whole match knowing that Eva Marie has stolen her title. Yeah. When Eva Marie could have very easily come out after that.
Oh, sure, because Asuka was very much in a squash match.
Yeah.
It lasted a little bit longer than a regular squash match would have been, but that's ultimately what it was.
Because house show.
Sure. I will say this. I've been converted. I really, really like Eva Marie.
I gotta say, like, she doesn't, like, TV does her a lot of favors as far as her appearance goes.
What do you mean?
That hair is really red. And
in person?
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say this, in person, like, I she's a very attractive woman. Mm-hmm. Always, you know, she has been since the day she walked in the company. In person, it's staggering how attractive she is. At least, again, it might just be me out of our group.
Like,
but I found myself, like, as soon as she came out, I was yelling, "Shut up, Tom."
I totally get that, like...
And I was full on, like, it's like she came out, I was fully in the tank like I was Corey Graves.
I totally get that I am, like, I feel like I'm in the role of, like, I'm the married guy, but I'm like... I just don't find the pretty girl pretty.
Yeah, sure.
But
you gotta protect yourself.
Like,
yeah.
Honestly, I think she looks better on TV.
Fair enough. I mean, everyone's got an opinion. And again, like, the trashy guys are going to listen to this and be like, because, you know, I messaged them this and, like, guys, I might have been converted. And, you know, I took some crap for it, as I rightfully should. I'm not saying it's a good thing. Yeah. I'm not saying she's a good wrestler, because she's not. She's a professional model who came to the WWE, so of course she's very attractive.
Yeah.
Of course that's her selling point. And yes, her finisher of, you know, Brian Kendrick giving her his finisher, which is the Brian Kendrick, sure, it looks awful when she does it. But... man, I don't have a good explanation. I'm not proud of it. I'm just being open and honest with everyone, because that's the kind of relationship that we all have here at Class Ring Attire.
I don't see it. I
will say this. She's learning to work those boos.
Oh yeah, she
incredibly
is.
Well.
She is.
And I
But the problem is,
you should like her because she's just like The Miz.
No.
And granted, Miz has experience, and he's a very much expert as far as getting heat on a dime.
Yes.
She's getting there. But I'm not saying, okay, God, you're going to, oh, okay. I'm not saying she's a master at it yet. She's got plenty of time for that. But I feel like she's going to have that sort of heel appeal, so to speak.
I don't think so. First of all, she has been there since 2012. Is that right?
Since whenever Total Divas was starting.
I think.
Which is around the time for it was around the same time as WrestleMania 29.
Yeah.
Because the first episode revolved around WrestleMania 29.
So she has improved almost zero.
Okay.
Well, I feel like you can. Everybody else on the NXT roster, every other female, is better than her.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them learned how to wrestle in NXT.
Yes.
So, the fact that she has been there for as long as she has is very problematic. Miz has definitely improved.
Yes.
In the exact same time period, The Miz has, you know, leaps and bounds improved, where she has... plateaued on day 4, basically.
Sure, yeah.
In her skill level. When we're saying she has learned to work the booze, not on the microphone.
Oh, yeah. It's more of a presence kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, kind of like look at me kind of stance and just kind of play that up more.
Sure, yeah.
Fine. And it doesn't, and that kind of stuff doesn't take a whole lot of effort or skill. I will give you that, yes.
It's not so much she's learned to work the booze, it's that she's learned to expect the booze so they don't catch her off guard anymore.
Fair enough. Now,
something you just get used to after this long.
Sure. I will say, her coming out to NXT for the very first time and just not expecting that just mountainous wall of booze smacking her right in the face is probably the most funniest moments of my life. Like, I loved it. For all the right reasons. So for the same reasons that everyone else loved it. Because it made her look like an idiot.
And let's be clear. We saw her live less than 2 weeks before. They genuinely thought she was going to come out to a face pop when she saved the Total Divas team for their big WrestleMania match.
I don't think they were expecting a face pop.
Every report has said they genuinely thought there would be a face.
I've heard some reports that they weren't really. They were just more of like being surprising, being shocking, like, or whatever. But not necessarily because they're expecting a face reaction. I want to believe that they're not that tone deaf. Again, this is WWE we're talking about, so they could be that dumb.
I'm pretty sure they thought we were just having fun.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. We're just having fun, you guys. But don't let them. But don't let that live audience influence the way you think. You cheer for who you want.
Is there anything else we need?
TNA is broken.
Oh, yeah.
TNA is being broke and possibly getting sold to Nazis. former wrestler, well, a company that is either headed up or prominent players within the company are former wrestlers. I believe it's Don and Ron Smith. Who, from what I understand, due to legal reasons, they have, like, when they're wrestling, Don has to have the ring name of Ron, and Ron has to have the ring name of Don. Like, I'm not kidding, it's on their Wikipedia. It's super weird. I don't know exactly why. But also interesting is they love them some Nazis.
Yeah.
Apparently, this company has...
Like, in a this-would-be-a-good-heel gimmick way, or in a, like, a Seth Rollins girlfriend kind of way?
As in, they have tattoos permanently on their bodies. Also, like, sure, like, one of them, like, when they're in TNA, one of them had, like, an SS t-shirt on. Which, yeah, okay, that's just a really just bad taste of heel work. No, they've got tattoos. So... Even with that aside, like, this company has apparently paid for the most recent TNA tapings.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's holding them back now, from what I understand, is that Dix Carter is not wanting to give up a controlling stake in the company, whereas this company coming in that wants to buy them absolutely wants a controlling stake.
Right.
She might not have a choice, because I think there's a clause in her current contract, or the current contract of the company, if they don't have a certain amount of money or a certain amount of ratings or whatever, I don't know, they lose controlling stake.
At what point, / do you think there is any interest at all in WWE ever buying TNA?
No.
And he's just not worth it, period?
I don't really think they want... I don't think they care that much about the footage.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. I don't really blame them. Like, they've had, you know, obviously great matches in their
no,
their time span. I'm not saying that there's nothing salvageable.
It's being able
I don't think WWE cares that much. Certainly not as much as WCW.
Oh, it's not really comparable to the WCW.
And honestly, from the sounds of these things, that this company that's wanting to buy them right now is probably the only group of people or company that is even slightly interested in buying them.
Yeah.
Like, it's from what I understand, if this deal doesn't get done, there's no one else. Because Toby Keith and his deal with Jeff Jarrett, like, they've all moved on to this GFW thing. I think it's still a thing. I don't know. But...
It's a Ponzi scheme now. Or not a Ponzi.
It's a multi-marketing thing to get people to buy gold boot bullion or whatever.
Yeah.
So... Oh, my God. I saw that video the other day, and I'm like, oh no. Jeff Jarrett, you poor soul. So I know we've said so many... We've predicted the downfall, the final nail in the TNA coffin so many times, but this really feels like it's it, you know?
No, I think they got something. I don't think they're dead yet. And that might be... me going out on a limb.
Yeah.
But
all this, you know, attention that they're getting for potentially being sold to Nazis is not helping them. Rather, I don't know how big they are into Nazis now, but they were really big into them like 10 years ago.
When they got the tattoos?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because, you know, perception is kind of key in these situations. Yeah. And right now the perception is so many horrible things that I can't say right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't pretend to know the business side of these things, but the writing on the wall is TNA is out of money.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
And if they don't find a buyer soon, they are going to be hurting bad.
The biggest reason I want WWE to buy TNA is not for the like catalog of video footage, but so that I can watch, they can make the rise and fall of TNA DVD documentary. Because that has got to be a fascinating story.
The rise part of that DVD is probably going to be like the first 20 to 30 minutes. The fall is going to be a 5-hour-long multi-part series.
Yeah.
Because they've been falling for at least 6 years by now.
Yeah.
If not more. And I hate it because, you know, we've got guys that we kind of know that are currently in TNA that are doing good things for themselves. Like, you know, I talked the other week about Trevor Lee and his match that he had at CFW Mid-Atlantic here in North Carolina, the 105-minute match.
Yeah.
He's their current X Division champion. Andrew Everett he actually had a big spot on TNA tonight, actually. And so it's like, I'm a big fan of these guys. They're good guys, and I want nothing but the best for them. I just wish that they had hitched their wagon, they hitched their wagon to a better horse.
Yes.
And I'm still keeping my fingers crossed that at least one of those dudes is going to be in the Cruiserweight series.
Well, we'll see. So.
Also, interesting bit of news that happened today.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of wrestling related. Conor McGregor has stated that he's retired from UFC.
Yes.
I don't know how much seriousness is that. It sounds like there was a dispute over money over UFC 200.
Mm-hmm.
That plus, I think he's currently training in Iceland, and UFC wanted him to fly into Vegas this week to do promotional stuff, interviews, blah, 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 blah. McGregor apparently did not want to do that and felt like it would throw off his training, throw off his preparation and everything, so he just flat out refused. So even if he's not retired, he has been taken off the UFC 200 card mm-hmm. because of this. And then immediately, like, people started looking into, oh, well, he recently followed on Twitter Triple H, Stephanie, Becky Lynch, and Shane.
Yeah.
You know? One of his trainers or managers or whatever posted on his Instagram account a picture of Jimmy Hart with the, you know, old school Jimmy Hart carrying carrying the megaphone, stating like, oh, this is going to be my new work uniform.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of speculation going out. Conor McGregor is 27.
Yeah.
A, that's a really young age to retire from UFC, yeah. especially when he hasn't been champion that long, and you would think he would want to redeem himself after. He went up two weight classes in his fight recently.
But his last fight was a loss.
But his last fight was a loss. You think he would kind of want to come back, redeem himself, and he is the current champion.
Like a loss that I feel like on another night he could have won. Like it was sure. not. It was yeah. not a blowout. It was like that could have gone either way.
Sure.
All things being honest, this is probably a lot of puff or nothing.
Oh sure, yeah.
Because
no one can stir up attention these days quite like Conor McGregor can.
Yeah. There are other MMA organizations mm-hmm. that like, yeah, they're not UFC clearly, but if he still wants to do MMA,
he's got options,
and they will lick his feet to let him do it.
Oh sure, he would be by far these other companies' biggest draw.
That being said, do you know how much money WWE would pay for Conor mm-hmm. McGregor to debut on Raw the same week CM Punk debuts in UFC?
Oh, man, I didn't even think about that. that would be incredible. And again, like, as personality-wise...
Like they are the petty company that would do that.
Oh, sure. Personality-wise, I feel like Conor McGregor would be a perfect choice. You know, he's got the physical ability. I'm pretty sure he could probably pick up, you know, working the business. Not as quick, maybe not as quick as Kurt Angle, because Kurt Angle's kind of a freak of nature. Yeah. But probably, you know, not much, you know, slower than that.
Mm-hmm.
He I think he could pick it up quickly. And, you know, his mic work would be incredible. If any UFC guy was tailor-made for this industry, it would be him. I just don't think he's ready to quite give it up just yet. I feel like this is part publicity, part yeah. to drum up attention.
Yeah, yeah. 50% publicity, 10% temper tantrum.
Sure.
23%, you know, business tactic.
Sure. And yeah, it could be getting more money for UFC 200. He might just genuinely not feel like doing interviews.
Yeah.
You know? Or this could be legit, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I saw him in the Hall of Fame ceremony in the crowd. Mm-hmm. Or in the lower crowd where the, you know, high profile people were sitting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, he follows wrestling people on Twitter, so clearly he's either has some sort of fandom or some sort of interest. And he's young enough to where he's got a lot of...
I mean, he would have a long, healthy career.
He would have a lot of good pro wrestling years ahead of him.
Yeah.
And he could sustain that for longer. He can get more money longer
mm-hmm.
as a pro wrestler than he could UFC.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar is a shining example of that.
Yeah.
And again, you know, he could make more for working less.
Mm-hmm.
And not get legitimately punched in the face.
I mean, ultimately, it's probably nothing, but it's pretty cool speculation.
Sure, and you know that's really the basis of what we're getting at is, you know, we're not getting our hopes up thinking that this is going
to
be an actual
thing. I mean, WWE does need to be careful that they're not where the UFC fighter goes to retire.
Sure.
Like, there is with Brock and theoretically Conor and probably Ronda at some point.
Right.
You know, there you do want to, like, make sure you're not, like, after the real fighting's done,
right,
then you go to
play
Fightland.
And let's be honest, there is a large percentage of UFC fighters that has the personality of a Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's not just saying, like, oh, we will take anybody, even though clearly WWE right now is the land of the NFL rejects.
Yeah.
In some cases, that works. You know, it works out for some people. But then you got Mojo Rawley.
The big thing is, we didn't know they were NFL rejects. Like, they don't come out as, you know, former NFL guy who tried it.
Well, yeah, they say that with, like, Mojo Rawley. They point out all the time. Like, he's friends with, you know, Rob Gronkowski.
No, but I'm saying
there's most other guys, they don't really come out with.
Yeah, there's a difference in that, because, you know, Conor McGregor will come out as, you know, UFC champion
sure.
Conor McGregor.
Yeah, they can have, he would have all these accomplishments that they would be able to allow, like, Brock Lesnar does.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
That's it.
That happened today. I don't know if anything else is going to come of it. By the time this podcast comes out, it could.
You probably have more information than we do right now.
Publicity stunt by that point.
So, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRRetire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classroomretire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to get the podcast. You get a new episode every week. If you click subscribe, maybe give us a rating of
5 stars
or write a review. That helps out the podcast and iTunes metrics things.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Facebook. We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris and myself. See what's going on with the podcast and kind of see what else is going on. It's other things that we're working on.
On that note, we also want to remind everyone that we're having a lot more video game videos go up on our it's the IBA Studios YouTube account. We've got a Pokemon series going on where Joel and Neil are making me play Pokemon for the first time in my life, and I am going through there like a trooper, trying. And Joel and Neil get to make fun of me, so you get that aspect. And then we just started one last week. Part 2 goes out this week of me, Joel, Neil, and Blair, all of us create a political candidate and put him up against Trump, and we all play Political Machine 2016.
Yes. Until next time, stay classy, and huzzah.
Huzzah!
Thank you.